20 minutes away from the AMA to wrap things up here on a Tuesday midday show with Andy and Randy. Final hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Get your questions ready. Phone lines will be open, 404-726-0929. Our listeners just know a lot of stuff, Randy. There's a lot of expertise out there driving around listening.
All right.
So anytime you ask a question like I did about why all the Uber drivers drive the same car, Jamal lets me know that a lot of the Uber drivers in Atlanta rent their car through Uber, and the rental car companies own the same types of cars. So there you go.
I did not and would not have ever known that.
Never thought about it. Never in a million years would have crossed my mind. But that explains it. I was like, a lot of these cars are the same. Turns out they are. I wasn't crazy, and that's the reason why.
Yes, I'm old enough to know when Uber first came out, though, it was just black cars. It was just like Lincolns and SUVs, I think it was, the Bourbons. When it first came out.
Is that right?
Yeah, when it first dropped, yes, that's what they had. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what changed, and it was in, everybody had it.
I do remember that at one point when I wanted to drive for Uber, my car wasn't nice enough. And they were like,
they were discriminating against the Element.
Yeah, the Element. They were like, nah, Element's not, doesn't pass the sniff test. You can't. I think it's because my door's open funny. Like, it's not this, you have to have four doors and it.
You
does.
Got suicide doors.
Right. I was like, I mean, they open funny because it's cool and like people are going to be thrilled to be riding in an Element. And then I got here to Atlanta and an Element picked me up. And I was like, what? Like, how'd they let you do it? He was like, oh, I just lied to him. I was like, oh, okay. So then I lied to him too, and then I just drove for Uber for a while. Anyway, Brandon Adams joins us from Dog Nation, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. BA, how are you?
You can tell who's like the multi-year NFL vet. Randy, never seen the inside of a MARTA train. Thinks Uber only has like black SUVs. Like, you can tell who's late.
Meanwhile,
is all I'm saying.
Meanwhile, I'm lying so I can work for Uber. Yeah. I think that's a good point. We accidentally gave away some secrets here. Hey, we saw the Falcons take a Georgia Bulldog in the first round. I'm sure you were as surprised as any of us. What was your reaction?
It was all. I mean, I was super thrilled. I mean, Jalen Walker's just one of the best guys to come through Georgia. And, you know, the last night of our Dog Nation cruise is always the first round of the NFL draft. And so we're in a big crowd with a bunch of people watching the draft. And to see the reaction from Georgia fans about that, I just think it creates a real moment to capitalize on. And I'll be honest with you, I've even challenged Andy some Georgia fans this week of, hey, for a long time, you know, we've nitpicked the Falcons about everything. And a lot of Georgia fans have said, well, until you start taking our players, we're not going to show you any love. Well, now they have. I mean, they took one of the best guys from this Georgia team, you know, in the first round. And I'm going to challenge Georgia fans. It may be time. I don't know if it's, you know, buying some gear or buying some tickets or just being a little nicer to them online. But it may be time for Georgia to show the Falcons a little love here now that Atlanta has at least shown a little bit of love towards Georgia.
Hey, B.A., tell me something. What day do you think college coaches enjoy more? Signing day or the last day of the portal, spring portal?
Oh, listen, I don't think there's anything they love more than that last day of the portal. Now, I think some of them are probably still nervous that there's some sort of loophole somewhere. And, you know, listen, this day and age, I guess you can never be too sure. But I promise you, there's probably champagne corks popping all over the place when that portal finally closes.
Can you tell us about some of the guys Georgia got? I mean, we saw the names, and sounds like everybody's pretty optimistic about the players that Georgia was able to bring in the spring portal. But what can you tell us about them?
Yeah, I put them in two different categories. I think Walclair Flynn, the offensive lineman from UCF, who obviously went to Grayson, and Horton, the defensive lineman from Miami. These may be long-range additions, guys that may have a chance to play for Georgia, I think, in the future, probably will have a chance to play for Georgia in the future, whereas – you know, Eli Mendoza from Army and Josh McCray, the running back from Illinois, these are guys that I think are expected to make an immediate impact. And with that in mind, you know, I think McCray's the most interesting here because, you know, Georgia was not very good with this running game a year ago. And obviously a lot of their hopes for offensive improvement are pinned on a better running game. And I think a lot of us probably thought, well, that means they're going to have to heavily lean on Nate Frazier. And I do believe that Frazier is still in line for a good season. But by bringing in a guy like McCray, who has played and was productive for a pretty good Big Ten team in Illinois, I think all of a sudden now you're kind of shaping up Georgia to be the kind of ensemble cast at running back the way that it's kind of been before in some of its best years. And so I'm not telling you that McCray alone is the difference between winning a championship or not, but this is a guy that's produced at kind of the high power four level. And my guess is he'll have a chance to do that here at Georgia too.
What about the defensive guy from Army? Because I was getting confused when a cadet could transfer. I'm like, he can do that and all those different things. Oh, yeah. But the depth piece about that, because they are slim up front, especially BA as far as the veteranship up that.
Yeah. So my understanding is, and people can certainly check my math on this, but I believe that you can't transfer from a service academy after you've kind of started your third year. He had played 2 years there, and so. My understanding is, once again, you know, there are people who are obviously a lot more well-versed in this than me, is that there's a window kind of after your second year prior to starting your third year that if you do want to leave, you can. It's rare to do that, but obviously we're only going to just now in the sort of, you know, transfer portal age where some of these service academy guys are good enough to test the waters. And I won't pretend to have ever heard of this guy before a few weeks ago, but I'll tell you right now, a lot of the people who've kind of watched him pretty closely think he's pretty good and think he has a chance to make, you know, kind of an impact in Georgia. I do believe he's going to vie for playing time. You got Q Johnson over there too at the outside linebacker spot. But I believe he's going to vie for playing time. And my guess is he will likely be able to give Georgia something pretty similar to what it has had at the outside linebacker spot. This is a position that Georgia had to fill. As you say, they just needed more bodies over there. And everything I've been led to believe by people who've been kind of like crunching the film and watching him closely, is this is a guy that will play for Georgia along with now maybe giving Gabe Harris a chance to be a defensive end. And as I said, Q Johnson, who they sort of believe is kind of a name on the rise, that Mudozie is going to kind of be in that group with them.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. Every time the draft comes around and Georgia has another great class like they have, certainly three guys taken in the first round, there's these fun kind of Kirby Smart era stats that pop up. My favorite one that I saw this week was with the three guys in the first round, Kirby now has more first rounders in his tenure than losses in the regular season at Georgia, which is pretty good. Do you have a favorite Kirby-era stat that you've seen lately, or maybe you just have it in the back of your mind?
Yeah, that's probably the best, I guess. I also had some fun this week with the fact that Georgia still has the most players drafted any one year going back the 2022 draft after the 2021 national championship. And so there's been a little bit of bragging rights, but the fact that as good as Ohio State was this year and as many draft picks as they produced, more than Georgia this year, at least one more than Georgia this year, still not the most ever. Georgia holding on to that for 2022. So there's a lot of different ways you can kind of slice all this up. But it really is amazing to think that, you know, the year, you know, Kirby's sort of first year at Georgia, you know, really mostly players that he would have inherited from the previous administration, you know, only had one player drafted. And from like the 2017 season on, this has just been an NFL draft pipeline. And obviously it's the easiest way to explain why they've had so much team success too. It's just really remarkable, and I would say that it doesn't really, at least yet, show signs of slowing down. It's an amazing, you know, just kind of blowing the lid off the program to see the draft capital that Kirby's been able to produce. And now you've got the Lions kind of copying the Eagles, who've always kind of loved their connection to Georgia. Detroit's trying to say the same thing. We've had the Chargers, the Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of do their own version of that too. The sheer number of NFL teams who kind of have made a little bit of a cottage industry out of drafting Georgia players, that's also, I think, pretty interesting too.
And that's what I was going to hit you with, B.A., the Detroit Lions and Dan Jackson. And I know, well, how many times have they brought in high-profile recruits? How many times have people benched them and get them out of here, and he still just continues to produce? But I think he's going to be a pro for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he has a chance to play too, because the one thing is he's a better athlete than people realize. He actually runs really well, and I'm sure I've said this on the air with y'all before, but it's worth repeating. What people need to understand is, oh, they know the story, he's a walk-on, but he was not a preferred walk-on. He was going to go to school at Georgia and called and asked him for a tryout, and they gave it. It's one thing to have, like, preferred walk-on, a guy where you say, we don't have a scholarship for you, but we'd love for you to come to Georgia, and so you choose Georgia over some group of five that was going to, you know, give you a full scholarship. Dan Jackson was going to go to school at Georgia, and he called them and said, can I please come try out? They said, yeah, I reckon. Yeah, awesome. And he came here and made the team and was on the field when Kelee Ringo got the interception that sealed the national championship game, and has been playing in essentially an all-SEC-level starter role for Georgia ever since then.
Yeah, those are the stories you love. When guys are able to overcome things and maybe do things people said they couldn't do, and then they get the payoff on draft day. So cool for him. B.A., we appreciate it.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks.
Appreciate you, B.
Brandon Adams there, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Honestly, one of the other ones, too, and I know he went number one overall in the draft, so it's hard for people to maybe wrap their minds around. Like Cam Ward was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah.
He went to Incarnate Word and threw the ball all over the place. And then him and his offensive coordinator got the opportunity to go to Wazoo, where he did a really good job for a couple of years. And then he used his final transfer year to go to Miami. And obviously, you know, everybody learned about
wasn't
him there.
Because after the Washington State, he was talking about declaring, and then he went to Miami.
Yeah, there was a conversation after that second year at Wazoo. Maybe he would come out. And I'll be honest with you, like, and we've talked about this. Like, I watched him play quite a few times at Wazoo. Obviously, he looked really good. Right. I never would have thought that he was going to be a number one pick. Right. Like, I, when he went to Miami, I was like, all right, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. And he was incredible.
How much of it does this class have to do with that?
That's a good question. That's true.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I think, you know, when we look at – next year's class, I saw a quote, and it was, I mean, I think because the era has changed, the question was posed, why do we think Arch Manning is coming out this year because of how long Eli and Peyton stayed in school?
Yeah.
And because of the NIL stuff that he has, and why do we keep thinking that it's like he's going to be a one and done? And I keep going back, it's just a different time in ball. Would I be surprised because of Eli and Peyton that Arch goes back for another year after this? No, I would not be.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, the fact that he's still there,
yes.
I think, kind of set. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Most guys wouldn't even have sat behind Quinn Ewers for 2 years. So he did that. And yeah, who knows? But
did you see all them damn deer heads in Quinn Ewers' basement?
Man has shot a lot of animals.
That man has shot and killed and then stuffed and mounted a lot of animals.
He
controls. they help control the deer population.
I bet PETA was pissed when they saw that on TV. You know what I mean? They're mad about bullpens. Quinn Ewers out there shooting everything. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.